I'll have you turn to Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. Read our scripture. I'll share a little bit of testimony with you about the Alaska trip, and then we'll go into our Bible study tonight. Matthew chapter number 6, and we'll begin reading verse number 1. Matthew 6, verse number 1. All right, Matthew chapter 6. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Chapter 6, verse number 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for allowing us just to come on this Wednesday evening, Lord. And for these many years, dear God, Wednesday nights has been about studying the Bible. It's been about having united prayer, dear God. We've tried to stick with that, stay with the stuff on that, Lord. I believe you've blessed it. And Lord, as we look at again on the scriptures, dear God, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things, line upon line, precept upon precept, I pray that you'll teach us something tonight, Lord. On this great matter, this great subject of prayer, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'll stir us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to preach on this subject tonight, or teach on this subject, Jesus on the subject of prayer. Jesus on the subject of prayer. When I take a trip, a lot of times what I'll do is I'll choose a book of the Bible. I'll do this on a teen camp week. I'll do this when I'm on vacation. Anytime I'm on a trip, besides my normal morning devotions, I always like to just take a book of the Bible and concentrate my reading, my study, my extra time in that book. I was led to the book of Matthew, but quickly realized that God was moving my heart not just to study the entire book, a large book, but in this matter of prayer and what Jesus spoke about in prayer. And so I spent most of my Bible reading time, extra Bible reading time and study while we were in Alaska on this subject. So God stirred some things in my heart, and I don't know if I'm going to tell you anything you don't already know or haven't heard from this pulpit, but let's be reminded of what Jesus said about prayer on this great subject of prayer. Number one, we should be careful not to misuse prayer. Let's remind ourselves of this. I don't care what spiritual activity, how noble the Bible proclaims something to be, we as human beings can find a way to drag sin into it. Okay, you can take something like preaching, and next thing you know, you can baptize it so much in the flesh that God can't even use it. You can take something like soul winning, and you know what? Start out with the right spirit, and next thing you know, get a haughty spirit, lose focus, let pride come in, and ruin a good thing. You can take something as wonderful as singing, and you know what? Thank God for the singers that we have here, but be careful, be careful. God begins to use you. People begin to compliment you. Next thing you know, you forget that you're doing it for the glory of God, and you want to turn the stage into a little miniature American Idol thing, okay? And it becomes about you and how you want to sing and how you want to look and the applause of men. Well, isn't it interesting that we need to be warned about this matter of prayer of all things? Jesus said in verse 5, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Be careful in this matter of prayer, especially public prayer. You know what? The Bible teaches us that if you're not careful, your motive for praying can become tainted. It's more about trying to impress people than it is to communicate to God. I don't sense we have that problem here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Maybe it's because of the years Dad has taught on this. Maybe it's because of the year that we spent on the subject of prayer, over 50 messages 1 year at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that I preached on this matter of prayer. Listen, I don't want anything in the flesh getting into something as sacred as prayer. And you've heard it before. I'm sorry, but you have. I have been in meetings. I've heard people called on to pray. And I don't know what it is where they think that they have to change their human voice in order for God to understand them, okay? Let's not play at this thing called prayer. All of a sudden, a guy talks normal like this, and you act calling to pray. Dear God. And I was like, what just happened to that guy, you know? What are you doing? I mean, honestly, excuse me, what are you doing? Okay? I mean, you know, let's not do that. Let's make sure that we pray. We're praying with sincerity. We're praying for the right reason, for the right motive. It's not about impressing anybody. It's not to be seen of men. The Bible says if you do it for that reason, you have your reward. Okay? And so be very careful. The Bible also warns in verse 7 about this use of vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. And so we have some warnings here by the Lord Jesus Christ, that we should be careful not to misuse prayer. I don't listen to everybody as you pray, but you know what? Don't be like that Pharisee that used prayer as a way of reminding God how wonderful he is. Don't use prayer time to brag on yourself or brag on your accomplishments. Remember, he used prayer time to put down a publican, put down the other man. I mean, don't use your prayer time like that. Now, Lord, we want to pray for sister so-and-so. Lord, we just know she's a mess. Oh, my goodness, she's a mess. Of course, her mother was a mess, dear God. Her dad pretty much was a mess, too, Lord. That's one of the reasons we never would fellowship with them, and we kept our kids away from them, dear God. But, Lord, we want to pray for them. You Pharisee, you hypocrite, stop. Stop. You're making God puke. Stop it. All right. And so number one, you say, you never heard people pray like that. Oh, yes, I have. Oh, yes, I have. We should be careful not to misuse prayer. Let's keep it pure. Amen. Let's do it from the right heart, right motive. Everything right. Okay. Make sure we're right. Number two, most of our prayer time should be alone time. Most of our prayer time should be alone time. Verse number 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I'll tell you a good way to keep your public prayers right. You won't even have to think about it. Spend a lot of time in private prayer, and your public prayer will just be an overflow of your private prayer. I find out that most people that glory in opportunities for public prayer probably don't spend a lot of time in private prayer, because if you did, you'd spend enough time in the presence of God to be of a humble heart, because there's nothing more humbling than spending time in God's presence alone and laying yourself open before him. And you know what? That kind of strips away all this nonsense, all the pretense of our Christian life. And so most of our prayer time should be alone time. This matter of having a prayer closet. The Bible talks about this matter of private prayer and shutting the door. Pray to thy Father. Here's the phrase, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. And you know what I found out? That more prayers tend to get answered that are kept secret than those that are made public. We've got this mentality that, well, preacher, if one person prays, then it'd be better if two, and if two, it'd be better than 10, and let's get 100, and, well, what are you going to do with this verse? I mean, at some point, what are you going to do with this verse? And if you get 100 people praying, then whose prayer got answered? I think some people run around trying to enlist help because, come on now, maybe in our heart of hearts, we know we're not on praying ground. Amen. I like this. I like talking about this every once in a while. I'm not against sharing prayer requests. But I am against everybody bringing all of your closet requests and expecting the church to stop what they're doing and praying over a lot of things that you should be praying privately about. And I've said that from time to time, and I'm going to keep saying it from time to time. And if you don't like it, I guess you can take page 1002 out of your Scofield Bible and rip it out and be mad at the preacher again. But is it really about getting everybody to pray, or is it about getting pity or sympathy or attention? Do me a favor, folks. I'm going to say this, and then we're going to move on. Don't exaggerate prayer requests. Okay? Don't exaggerate prayer requests. You don't, I mean, I'm talking about hundreds of times since I've been pastor. The initial prayer request comes out. And then by the time the facts come out, it's, okay, somebody asked about me being sick, and I was, when I actually got on the plane. And I don't get, I mean, I thank the Lord, I hardly ever get sick. And I mean, I thank God for that. But the day before I was to leave for Alaska, I began to get something, head cold went into my throat. And then I began to run a fever. I got on the plane to leave running a fever. Affected the whole plane. But, bless God, I was on a mission from God, so amen. And, white sores on the back of my throat and all of that. You say, what did you have? A cold? No, I'm sure you had an upper respiratory infection. No, I had a cold. Am I making my point? No, I was snotty, blowing snot, had a cold, okay? Had a headache and a cold. That's what I had. I'd have to make up long names. I'd have to send a prayer request out there making it sound like I was going to have to be put in the emergency room. I was on the brink of death, just going on for Jesus. Had a cold. Did that help you? All right. I've got the point where I won't even put some things on our prayer chain until I can verify facts. Because some of you are just exaggerators. You sensationalize everything. You exaggerate everything. Why? Don't you think God knows what's wrong? Okay? All right. Made some more mad. Amen. Here we go. I'm trying to clean up our prayer time. Prayer's sacred. It's not some silly game. The prayer chain's not a silly game. Prayer requests coming up here is not a silly game. My prayer time is sacred time. It's not game playing time. It's not, oh, this person needs more attention time. All right, if you got a real need, I want to pray about it. If you just need attention, then put in a prayer request. Please pray for me. I need attention. And we'll pray. Matthew chapter 9. Amen, preacher. Thank you. Thank you, preacher. You helped us, preacher. Thank you, preacher. That's good for us, preacher. Amen. Thank you, preacher. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 9, in verse number 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And so, number three, we should faithfully pray for laborers for the harvest. I'm going to tie this together with the next one so that we can package them. Go to Matthew chapter number 19, because I'd like to see you package these two together. Matthew chapter number 19 and verse number 13, Matthew 19:13. Then were there brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, suffer little children, forbid them not to come unto me, of such is the kingdom of heaven. He laid his hands on them and departed thence. Folks, let me say this. Number three, we should faithfully pray for laborers for the harvest. Number four, we should pray for the children of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Well, it would be a good thing to pray. Pray that God raises them up to be laborers for the harvest. That would be a good prayer request, a good thing to pray. I don't want us to lose sight of this. Okay, I can't seem to get this. We've derailed on this, and I can't get the train back on the track. And I'm never going to get it back on the track, parents, without your help. I'm just not. Okay, but I'm just going to tell you something that I've put tons of prayer and labor and time into, and I can't get the train back on the track. And that's this idea of raising children to serve God, to serve the Lord. Okay? Now, we need laborers in the harvest. Does that mean everybody should be preachers or evangelists or missionaries? No, it doesn't mean everybody, but it means some should. Let's not close the door on that. Okay? I mean, it wasn't 5, 6, 7 years ago. We had 12, 13, 14 kids in Bible college. Now we got kids just watching the clock to turn 18 to go be heathens. And honestly, it just wearies me. It just, honestly, it just, I have no greater joy than to see that my children walk in truth. And if that's true, then you got to flip the coin. I have no greater heartache. Preacher, where's the source of the greatest heartache that you have in the ministry? Investing 18 years in somebody to watch them turn around and spit on it. You know, get a phone, get a Facebook page, start ripping apart and tearing apart the people that have given their lives for them. I don't get it. I don't get it, and I don't plan on getting it. Because it's wicked. It's just wicked. Okay? This church, honestly, ought to have an auditorium 5 times this size. Right. If we just have the young people that grew up here and know better. Amen. Get right with God, get back in church, and start serving the Lord. I'm not talking about everybody going off to full-time Christian service. But man alive, we need laborers for the harvest right here. Okay, we need young Levi Halls growing up through the system, and when they graduate saying, preacher, give me a bus route. And we need Jeffrey Risers that'll say, hey, I'll help Grandpa Bo till he can't do it anymore. Then I'll take it and I'll run with it. Okay. And so pray about that. Parents, pray about that. Okay, pray with me about church. Can I just enlist all of you? Pray for these kids. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I can't figure it out. I want to blame technology. I know that some people are getting to our kids. You better watch your kids. You better watch what you're putting in their hand. You better watch who they're associating with. You better watch who they're talking to. You better watch. But young people, you and I both know that your parents can only protect you in that arena for so long. And there's got to be something in your heart at some point that says, you know what? I'm going to serve God with my life. Okay? I'm not going to waste everything that's been put into me. I'm going to be part of the next generation that takes this church forward. Not a bunch of ingrates out there trying to tear it apart from the outside in now. So pray for our children. Pray that God would. I mean, what's this really all about? Is it about? What is it about? It's about labors for the harvest. See, the devil, he doesn't have to count it as a victory to get our kids to end up as dopeheads and alcoholics. All he cares about is neutralizing their effectiveness for the cause of Christ. Okay, they could go out, work jobs, be nice people, give to charities, like some of them are on Facebook bragging that they're giving to charity. You know, they always try to show you all the really good things they're doing. They're not soul winning, not reading their Bible, not faithful to church, but they, you know, contributed to Wounded Warriors. Woo! Okay? And I've contributed to Wounded Warriors. I'm not against it, but that's not a substitute. All right? Are you with me? All right, let's pray about this. Pray about this, all right? Let me give you one more, and then we'll get you out of here. Matthew chapter 17. So Jesus, on the subject of prayer, he says, hey, don't get nutty about this thing of prayer, and don't bring sin into it, and don't bring self into it, don't bring self-pity into it, don't bring I need attention into it. Don't bring this, I need to be seen of men into it. And then realize most of your prayer time needs to be alone time. And then faithfully pray for labors for the harvest. And then let's pray for our children, because the devil's after the kids at Blessed Old Baptist Church. And then this last great thought, mercy sakes, in Matthew chapter number 17. If you look in verse number 14, and when they were come to a multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, and oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Folks, there are some prayers. There are some things that are never going to get accomplished in the prayer closet without you adding fasting to them. I want you to understand in the context of the story here that this was a spiritual battle, spiritual warfare was going on here. Here a demonic influence had possession of a child. And you know what? When you're fighting the devil and you're fighting demonic influences, let me tell you something. You don't bring your D game or your C game or your B game. Okay? Now, you don't mess around with that stuff. Sometimes what you have to do is you have to say, Lord, this praying, something more than praying is going to have to do for this one. It's going to cost something. This matter of fasting is something that probably I haven't taught enough about. What is fasting, preacher? Prayer and fasting. Throughout the Bible teaches us that sometimes in order to really show God that we're very serious about a matter, that we would for a while deny our flesh, say no to food, not eat, do that for a day or 2 days or 3 days or 5 days or 10 days. Say, Lord, I'm going to make a commitment to pray over this situation. And Lord, I'm not going to just come to you with prayers. I'm going to come with prayers and fastings. I want you to see how serious this is, how important this is, how needful this is, Lord. And I will say this. One of the things the Bible talks us about back in Matthew chapter 6, doing in secret, giving of your alms, praying. And we didn't go on down and read, but fasting is also addressed there. That I don't think that's something you ought to blow a trumpet about, make a big deal about. Again, the Bible says if you do it for that reason, you have your reward, you know. But I think very quietly and very privately, I have watched Christians throughout my life take this matter of prayer and fasting seriously and see God do amazing things, answer unusual prayer requests in an unusual manner. He said, if you'll do it in secret, I'll reward you openly. And so let me just ask you to be open to that, okay? And I think that that's something that Jesus definitely was teaching his disciples here. He says, listen, I'm not always going to be with you. If you can't do it, you're not going to be able to bring them to me. I'm leaving. So you better understand, I'm teaching you about prayer, and I've taught you a lot about prayer, but you need to learn at times you got to take it to another level. And I will say this throughout our Christian life, in my Christian life, my private, personal Christian life, I am sold on this matter of prayer and fasting. Sold on it. Sold on it. And so if there's something, you say, preacher, I just have been praying and praying and praying about, and I don't know why, but I just can't get an answer to prayer, be open to this. Because if you spend time in prayer and fasting, not only will it prove something to the Lord concerning your seriousness, but I will tell you this. When you weaken your flesh, there is a clarity that comes to your prayer life that I can't describe. And there's a purity that comes to your prayer life that is needful. Because a lot of times, our prayers, our prayer requests that we want to happen are secretly, whether we realize it or not, is baptized a lot in the flesh. And once you weaken that flesh and you get the flesh out of the way and you spend extended times before the presence of God, say, preacher, have you always had your prayers answered when you did prayer and fasting? No, sometimes I've had them changed. Because after a time of fasting and prayer, getting the flesh weak and getting the flesh out of the way, I found out that what I was praying had more to do with selfishness than it did the will of God. Amen? And so that's some of the things Jesus taught us on this subject of prayer. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to come boldly to the throne of grace. Lord, thank you for that invitation. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us to be a church that prays, understands the need of prayer, the power of prayer. And Lord, that you would help us as a church to commit ourselves to these things. May our prayer requests, our prayer motives be purified. Lord, you warned us, if you're not careful, good people, thinking they're doing right, can turn prayer into something that is so fleshly and so carnal and so selfish. I pray, Lord, that this matter, dear God, of us faithfully praying, dear God, in secret. We're not willing to pray alone. We're not willing to do the closet prayer time. Probably shouldn't be bothering too many people with prayer requests. Pray, Lord, that you'd help us to pray, faithfully pray for labors into the harvest and pray for the children of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And dear God, we've got some exciting things. We've got some good young people right now. Good young people, dear God. I think we've got even some godly young people. But I pray, Lord, that you'd protect them, dear God. And give them a heart to serve you, dear God. Whatever poison has gotten the pot, whatever, dear Lord, the devil has gotten in that we can't seem to get rooted out of the hearts, whatever's being passed around and about, God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help some young people to rise up against that. Take a stand for Jesus. I'm going to serve the Lord with my life. And Lord, I pray that you'd protect them, dear Lord. And Lord, this matter of fasting, I pray, dear God, you move in our hearts even now. And dear Lord, maybe very specifically, tonight this message was for some so that they would be reminded, howbeit this kind cometh but by prayer and fasting. Pray these things in Jesus' name.